Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi, folks, and welcome to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford, and I'm the host of the program. We gather each Monday at 4 o'clock right here on KFIA Radio to talk about this thing called Ancient Future Christian Faith. What in the world is it? I'm also, by the way, the blessed guy who gets to be the pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento, California. We'd love to have you learn more about the church or come visit us, even better, on Sunday mornings at 10:30. Each week on this program, I try to bring you a wide variety of guests to talk about this thing called Ancient Future Christian Faith. And today is no exception. We have a friend of the program, a dear friend of mine. He's also a member of the Ancient Future Faith Network, which I hope we get some time to talk about. And he's a pastor in Oregon. And we welcome Reverend John Ahmet to the program. Hi, John. Welcome.
Hello, Chris, and hello to all of your listeners in Sacramento. I always enjoy going to Sacramento, and sometimes when it's months of gray and rain here in Portland, I really wish I was in Sacramento.
Well, actually, we've had a lot of rain, thanks be to God, lately ourselves, so we're kind of happy about that. What's the weather up there right now like, John, in Portland?
Well, it's finally decided to turn into spring. So after about 5 or 6 months of gray and rain, we're finally getting some sun and it's drying out.
Lovely. Hey, we were talking just before we started to record this morning about ancient future and what it means for ministry. We often talk about ancient future worship. What does that look like? But you're in a very unusual place. You are the pastor of a church start in Portland, and you're really doing grassroots ministry there in your particular context. So I think it would be a great conversation to talk about what ancient future ministry looks like. When I say ancient future ministry, John, what's one of the first things that pops to mind?
Well, I think ancient future ministry for my church, Sojourn Church in Oregon, ancient future ministry to us is in reaction to the fact that the tables have been turned generationally, that when I went to seminary, we were taught that the main vehicle to reach the people of our culture, the non-church people, was through our worship service. So we spent a lot of time worrying and working on a worship service that would be attractional. And in this cultural shift that we're facing all over the country, but especially here on the West Coast, we're seeing a shift away from the norms of people, that there is no longer an instinctive desire of people to come to church. In fact, for many people, they are one or even two or three generations removed from the church, and many have very little Christian memory. And we also find that we're maybe ministering more in a cultural context that was indicative of the early church than it is of the church of the 20th century.
Yeah.
The 21st century church, the tables have turned. Our culture has been more and more moving away from Christianity as being the major religion that impacts people's lives. Just the other day, I was getting my hair cut, and the wonderful person who cut my hair informed me she was a Christian witch.
Wow.
She had belief in Christianity and also in witchcraft. And it reminded me so much of the culture that the apostles were facing when they met people who were pagan, who were occultic, and were Jewish. In fact, it reminded me of that passage in the book of Acts where Paul does amazing things in the city of Ephesus, and people come to Christ and become convicted, and they burn $1 million or more worth of occult literature.
Yeah. You know, I often say that the world we're living in right now, John, looks so much more like the first, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 centuries of the church than it does the modern era that we just left behind. And that's a perfect example of that. So I think what you're saying is that for so long we put all of our eggs, as it were, in the worship basket, trying to make that attractional, trying to get people to come to the worship service. And now at least what you're seeing is that there's a whole generation or two of people who don't really care or even have a Christian memory about coming to a worship service. And so the place where you're going to be ministering to them is where they are. Have I got that right?
Right. Ancient Future Ministry really speaks to me in that we're moving away from the attractional aspect of Christianity to the relational aspect. That I was thinking the other day, we're planning a church here on the west side of Portland, and we're a year and a half into this, and it really has been a slog. The word slog came to our mind, is that we are reaching people, but the work is deep relational work.
Yeah.
And I tell our people that the last place that we'll expect to see a follower of Jesus in terms of a weekly commitment of discipline is to the discipline of worship.
Wow.
And in the early church, worship was a discipline that people practiced as part of their faith in following Jesus. They gathered together to hear the word proclaimed, to sing together and worship the Lord, and also to break bread to celebrate communion.
Are you finding, John, that, I want to pick your brains just a little bit about the kind of people you were encountering. You mentioned just a moment ago this person who said she was a Christian witch. Are you encountering people who, though they might have a, what would you say, really eclectic view of spirituality, but that they are open to the Christian story? I mean, we read that in the books that we're reading, right, that we're trying to be encouraged by, that the postmodern world is, while it's kind of wacky, it certainly is also open to Christian story and meta-narrative. Are you finding that to be the case?
We're finding that people are open to the Christian message, but they're, again, very suspicious of organized church.
Yeah.
There's this paradigm where we're very strong here in Portland, Oregon, that personal religion is much better than organized religion. And the last place where we see people as they come to follow Jesus, often the last place, is in an organized church setting. And
yeah.
So we see that they're open to more relational things. And so we're not reinventing the wheel, but we have home groups, and we call them common groups. And, of course, the word common is one way to translate the word koinonia.
Hmm.
And we see people in our common group that we don't see in church. And
right.
Oftentimes we are able to share our lives with them in our common groups.
I just thought of a question I want to ask you, but first let me remind folks that they're listening to a program called Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the host of the program, also the pastor of Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith community, a non-denominational Christian church here in Sacramento, California. You can always get more information about Epiclesis by zipping over to the website. It's epiclesis.org, epiclesis.org. Today, my very special guest is the Reverend John Ahmet. He's a member of the Ancient Future Faith Network. He is a friend of mine, I'm proud to say, and also the pastor of a church start in Portland, Oregon. John, just before the break there, I was thinking of this question. You said a minute ago that the folks there prefer a kind of a personal religious experience rather than, say, organized religion. I'm wondering, though, if there is some intrigue among the people you're encountering with ancient practices and how the church used to do it, even how individuals used to approach their spirituality in the very long ago. Are people intrigued or interested in classic Christianity or classic expressions of Christianity, say particularly the spiritual disciplines or other things like that? Tell me about that.
I think the main connection would be spirituality. People will say, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. So connecting with people who are not Christians in this post-Christian culture we live in, often begins with spiritual conversations. And so the ancient church had a wealth of spirituality. On our website of our church, we list some of our values. And one of them is the value of immanence, that God is present with us and with the whole of creation. So being with God, resting in God's presence, and enjoying God's simple gifts is vital to spiritual contentment.
Yeah.
And our proof text for that, if we need one, is Jeremiah 23:23-24.
Right.
And this is borrowed from the ancient Celtic church, the church of insular Christianity, of the church of St. Patrick, that they saw God not as being divided into compartments in our life, like this part of our life is secular, this part of our life is sacred, that all of life becomes infused with the presence of God. And we're finding many people are really attracted to a neo-pagan expression that they want God to be in everything. But the ancient Christian church, of course, did not believe that God was in everything, but God was with everything.
Yeah, an important distinction. I'm wondering, you just mentioned your website there, and I would love to steer people in that direction. They can learn more about you. I assume they can also support your ministry there if they felt led to do that. What is the website, John, and how can we find it?
Yeah, it's SojournChurchHillsboro.com.
So SojournChurchHillsboro.com,
yes.
All one word, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we welcome any of your listeners to check out our website and even to contact us. We also connect with people spiritually through seeing our life as a journey. You know, so much in the Christian church, we live Sunday through Sunday.
Right.
And we just had this season where we've been praying for divine appointments, that in the journey of our life, that we would meet people that we can share the life of Christ in us with them. And throughout the season of Lent, we were fasting and praying for more opportunities to share our lives in Christ with people. And we just had a number of encounters. And my example of the Christian witch is just one of those. It's been really wonderful. And when you begin to read the literature of the early church, the church fathers, and even the literature of the Celtic church, you begin to see that their journey of their life was a journey with God, and that sharing the life of Christ in us with other people was really an important part of how they evangelized.
Do you guys have some sort of mechanism by which folks come, let's say on the Sunday worship experience, where they have an opportunity to share these God appointments through the week, some sort of little testimony? How and when do they do that? And I bet the listeners would too, I'd love to hear another story or two. How are they sharing that? And can you give us another example or two of these divine appointments?
Sure. Every Sunday, a very important time of our church is praying together. And prayer is no secret in the Christian church, but when you're in an oppositional culture, like the early church was, prayer takes on a whole new dynamic.
For sure.
Without prayer, it's impossible to see breakthrough. And so we emphasize corporate prayer, and we do it very liturgically, though it doesn't feel liturgical. We'll have a time for Thanksgivings. We'll say, you know, for so-and-so, we give thanks to the Lord, and then we'll all reply, thanks be to God. And so oftentimes these kind of encounters will come up where people will say, you know, I met so-and-so this week, and let's pray for them. And then we'll say, Lord, hear our prayer.
So you're working it actually into the body or the texture or the structure of the worship. Oh, I love that. That's really neat.
So prayer becomes a very, very important time of our church experience. And, you know, so much as evangelicals, we have this tradition, like prayer is getting on our knees and going at it for hours and wrestling in prayer. And I believe in all that, and I think it's wonderful. But there's something about praying as a church. When I first started in ministry, I really wasn't very enthusiastic about praying in a church. But as we've prayed as a church, we've seen so many breakthroughs, especially in this year and a half. We've seen people have amazing things happen in their work lives. Most of our people did not have living wage jobs. We've been praying as a church. Lord, would you give so-and-so a living wage job? And almost everyone in our church body has now received a living wage job, and even more. It's just been an amazing time of God blessing people with living wage careers and occupations.
So do you have another example of these interesting divine encounters that your church folks are having with the people of Portland through the week? I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I'm just dying to hear another interesting story or two.
You know, the one with the Christian witch is the one that comes to mind right now. And to be honest with you, Chris, I kind of have a mental block right now about some of the others. But a lot of time they haven't been that dramatic. They've been small encounters, just people sharing what's going on in their life and us being able to say, well, hey, I'm gonna pray for you, or we're going to pray in church for you this week.
Yeah, but you know, I think that in some ways, John, those are the most powerful and dramatic because it's really just in the everyday encounters, just the economy of our daily living where we rub shoulders with people. I think those are extremely powerful, yeah?
I think one of the aspects of ancient future ministry is how we see ourselves. In the modern era, we so much have seen ourselves as individuals, but the early church, individualism took a burner, a back seat to the corporate expression of faith. And so people saw themselves as Christians in the context of the church body. And it rings from the pages of Scripture that people saw themselves in the ancient church as the incarnational body of Christ. One of the passages in the Common Lectionary this week is from the book of Acts, where Paul is going to persecute Christians, and Paul sees a white light, he's knocked off his horse, and the voice from heaven says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? The voice doesn't say, why are you persecuting my Christian brothers and sisters? It's, why are you persecuting me?
Yeah.
And so Jesus is saying to Paul and saying to us that the church is indeed his incarnational body. We're his hands and eyes and feet and ears and mouth here on earth. And so together as a church, we incorporate the presence and ministry of Jesus together. One of the dimensions that we're using, that the ancient church used, and we're using it, I think, in a very natural way, is the charismatic dimension of the gospel.
Oh.
And couple that with the contemplative dimension of the gospel.
What do you mean by charismatic dimension of the gospel?
Well, we've had a number of encounters, and in my example of the Christian witch is an example, where people of this culture, this post-Christian culture, are looking for encounter, power encounter with God.
Right.
Spiritual encounter. As we said before, as I was on this program last time, is oftentimes the way to bring people into discipleship in Christ is first through spiritual encounter, which brings them to doctrinal understanding.
Right.
And so there's so much bondage here in the United States. People are in bondage to the occult. People are in bondage to depression, to suicidal ideations, and we have been able, in a very discreet and a loving way, to minister to people in prayer ministry using the charismatic gifts of the Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, to see people receive breakthrough from this kind of oppression.
You're listening to an interview with the Reverend John Ahmet. He's a church planter in Portland, Oregon. He's, I'm also proud to say, a friend of mine, a member of the Ancient Future Faith Network. And by the way, I've mentioned that two or three times in this broadcast. If you'd like to learn more about the Ancient Future Faith Network, zip over to that website. It's just all one word, ancientfuturefaithnetwork.org. And you can see John's picture and read his bio sketch there. Learn more about the work of the network and what we're trying to do to foster an ancient future faith dialogue. John, in our remaining moments, I'm just wondering if you might like to share some things that our radio audience here can be praying for you and your church about. I'm sure that there are some things you'd love a little extra prayer support from your brothers and sisters and the Church of Sacramento. So tell us, how can we be praying for you, and what can we be remembering the Lord with you and for you about today?
Well, we knew going into this ministry that we started a year and a half ago that the most receptive people to the good news of Jesus were going to be those who were spiritual seekers, and even more so, those who are broken. And so all around us here in Oregon and California, we have people whose lives are utterly broken in one way or another. And the ministry of Jesus is good news to them. And pray for all of us, including my church and your church, Chris, and all of our churches of your radio listeners, that the Lord would give us a heart to reach the broken, because this is the year of Jubilee. This is the year where prisoners are going to be released, that the poor are going to be encouraged, and Christ is going to break through for those who are broken and hurting.
Amen. Amen. That's a prayer that we can all get behind for sure. John, one more time, let's tell people again the name of your church and how to find it on the web and some of the things that they can see there on your website, because I want to make sure people get a glimpse of what you're doing there and learn a little bit more about Sojourn Church. Can you tell us about that again, please?
Sure. We're at SojournChurchHillsboro.com, and Hillsboro is spelled H-I-L-L-S-B-O-R-O, Hillsboro Church, SojournChurchHillsboro.com, and you can find us on the World Wide Web very easily, and you'll see pages about what worship is for us and the values we have and how we serve people and minister to people. We also have some media that you might also be interested in as well.
Like what, by the way? What kind of media things do you have there?
Well, on our media page, we have a video about Journey with Jesus and how people can get started in their faith with Christ. And I think this video really is an evangelistic tool, a pitch from a very ancient future perspective. We also have a video about Sojourn's ancient future worship, and we also have some music we've recorded, some older music given an ancient future contemporary edge as well.
If I'm remembering right, you also are a musician, yeah? Don't you play guitar and sing some too?
Well, I do. I don't know that I'd go as far as call myself a musician, but yeah, I do it. I write music and also perform occasionally in the secular world out here in the Portland area.
John, it's always a really nifty treat to be able... We don't talk enough, actually, so it's a treat to be able to speak with you. And I want to thank you for coming on the program today. Bless you. Thanks a bunch.
Chris, thank you, and God bless your listeners in Sacramento, California. Always a pleasure to be here with you.
Thank you so much. You've been listening to an interview with John Ahmet. He's a church planter, pastor in Portland, Oregon. And you're listening to a program called Ancient Future Faith, a place where on KFI Radio we talk about this wonderful breath, wind of renewal that's blowing through the evangelical church as folks are returning to the ancient good of our faith. And until we gather next time for another edition, I'm hoping that you'll keep this in mind. Surely, the road to our evangelical future does run through our ancient Christian past. The Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at ancient future faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church. And they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience ancient future faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hi there, folks. Pastor Chris here with a little note to say that we're right in the middle of one of the best times of the whole Christian year, the celebration of Easter. In the ancient church, Easter was a season of rejoicing, not just a day, and the Easter season is a great opportunity to see what ancient future Christian worship at Epiclesis looks like. Find more information on the web at epiclesis.org. That's E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next Monday afternoon at 4 p.m. for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.